Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, what I want to zero in on is this little word in verse 33, ready. Peter said to the Lord now, I am ready. And I think that he thought he was ready. He said, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's a pretty big statement for us to say that we're ready to go to prison and to death. I hope we're ready, but we really don't know how it might be when we get there. Peter thought that he was ready. So I'm talking about some things that are ready tonight. Now there are some saints that's ready to stop. They're ready to stop. They're just waiting for somebody else they can blame for their negligence and quitting out. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, see, we're compassionate about we're so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does lead to beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sit down to the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such conviction of sinners against himself, lest he be worried and faint in your mind. When you faint in your mind, that's where you do faint. You're ready to quit. Let your health quit when you faint in your mind. A fainted person's not dead, but they look dead and act dead. They quit operating. You ever see anybody fainted out? Used to be back when I first started preaching, a lot of people, older ladies, that fainted out at funerals.
Yeah.
They'd faint out. They wasn't dead, but they looked dead and act dead. It kind of scared me. But one funeral director over where I was trying to pastor a church then, he had some of that little ammonia, whatever they take, he'd put it on their nose and revive them. I tried to get some of that to put on the church member's nose. He said it didn't have any work for them. I said, all those folks fainted down at the church. They're not dead, but they passed out.
Yeah.
May God help us to see that some folks are ready to stop. Never think about stopping. Listen, the Lord can say this to any of us. Satan hath desired to have thee. He desired to have you. And he desired to have me. He's an adversary like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
If you think he won't devour you, you better think again. You have to be sober, be vigilant, and be steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction that comes to your brother in the earth. So look here. The devil, you're no match for the devil. Only Jesus Christ is a match for the devil. So don't be ready to stop. Then some saints are ready to serve. And I hope you're one of them that's ready to serve.
Amen.
We are saved to serve.
Amen.
Not saved just to go to heaven.
Amen.
We're saved to be holy and to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Amen.
When Paul came to die in 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, I'm ready now to be offered. Of course, he looked back over his life and saw all the trials and relived it. He said, I'm ready now to be offered. The tongue of my departs his hand. He didn't say, I'm about to get to die. He said, I'm ready. I hope you and me are ready. The Bible said, Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give every man an answer and a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to tell them what the Lord gives you and why you got the blessed hope. Why are you looking for the Jesus to come? Why are you rejoicing in hope? Be ready to tell somebody. Have you told anybody lately? Have you told anybody lately about what Christ has done for you, what he's doing for you, where he brought you from, where he's going to take you to? You're supposed to be telling somebody. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, you should be witnesses unto me. We are witnesses unto Jesus Christ. We're too proud about this, don't you think so? The early church was witnesses, and I go over this a lot. A witness knows something. We've been trained in the last 60 years, trained to be soul winners, trained to go out there and tell them this, that, and the other. Listen, they didn't have to train them disciples. They told them what God did for them. Every time Paul testified, he was testifying about what God done for him in Christ. He was a witness of Jesus Christ. Are you a witness? Do you have a testimony about the redeeming grace of God? Somebody don't have to tell you what to say. You might not words or say your words exactly right, but if you've got experience down in your soul, you know about it. You know firsthand how God broke your heart and your will. You know firsthand how He brought you to repentance and the burden of sin rolled away and forgiveness and peace flooded your soul and joy unspeakable come in. And you passed and death on us. You might not know anything else, but you knew you had peace with God. You live a joy unspeakable full of glory. I can't stand this dried up, dried up thing that there's no joy in. You can't have a church like that. You gotta have joy in your heart. Praise God. Joy unspeakable. So many Christians have lost their joy. They don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I tell you why, remember not seeing your love. Don't ask him not yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. How long has it been since you rejoiced? How long has it been since you rejoiced because you're saved? You shall not rejoice and come. Don't be trying to kid me. You've got joy down inside every once in a while. You can say from your heart, praise God. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. We've lost our joy. We need to pray like the psalmist. Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then I can do something. We can't do nothing until we got full joy. God wants our joy to be full. Not just a little dry testimony. Well, I know I'm safe. Listen, Lord, give it with joy. Don't you think so? Well, sinners are ready to perish. Did you know sinners are ready to perish? Did you know the Bible said in verse 7 and 20 verse 3, just a step between me and death. You may be dead before it gets dark. Somebody be dead before it gets dark tonight. It's the point of a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. Yes. What is your life? Like a vapor, here for a little time, vanishes away. Jesus come to care for the perishing and the dying. You glad of that? Isaiah said it shall come to pass, that the great trumpet shall be blown. And there shall come that were ready to perish. I'd rather heard the word of God like a trumpet. Oh, it come like a two-edged sword to my heart. I felt the call of God inside, calling me from darkness to light, from Satan to the Savior. If you hadn't been called by His grace, I don't believe you're saved. 165 times in the New Testament, call of the Word Covenant is in the New Testament, and God calls us to Himself. The call is in the Gospel, praise God. And God calls us by His grace, reveal His Son in us. And we know about the call from God to the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's real, aren't you? Oh, yes. Sinners are ready to perish. We ought to have a broken heart about people that's ready to perish now that's lost. And my heart is burdened and broken. My own friends and relatives and family members that stands on the brink of a never-ending eternity. Lost without God, thinking everything's okay. Not giving eternity any thought. Not giving tomorrow spiritually speaking any thought. All they do is living it up for now. Want to have a good time for now. May God help us to understand we're a judgment eternity bound people. There's a long eternity just in the front of us, and we may be there soon. If you're not washed in the blood and saved by grace, you're not ready for the parting of this life. And while you understand you're perishing, you need to come while the door's open. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. If you'll be a reasonable person, you can get redeemed. It takes an unreasonable person that don't get saved. God would come to send down to where we are and say, come, I want to reason with you about your sin, about your soul. God don't have to reason with us. That's mercy reaching out. Mercy coming out to you. Come and read. If you'll be reasonable, you will get saved. Praise God. This is an unreasonable generation. A hostile generation. People being killed all over the country with road rage and family members killing the whole family. All kind of sin and wickedness and vile things happening today. You ought to shout hallelujah that you got called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Praise God. I'd already been in hell with my back broke probably. The crowd I used to run with was already lost without God and in another world. But for some reason of God only, He got me at the right place at the right time to give me the call of God and tell you by a wonderful grace. And glory to God, I've been going to heaven for 58 years now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, did it make you act like that? It might make you act worse than that. We've been too proud about it too long. They make more noise than this than automobiles out here at the red light playing satanic music. I pull up side of them sometimes. They're so loud, it's jarring the ground. I wish I still had an old loudspeaker put on top of my car. I'd cry out about the Lord Jesus. Turn it toward him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you something else, salvation's ready. Praise God. The Lord gave in Luke chapter 14, he said a certain man made a supper and sent his servants to bid many, bade them to come. Hallelujah. He said, tell them that we'll be furnished, all things are ready. I'm saying salvation is ready. Everything's ready. Hallelujah. On this table, there, and God furnished everything. God furnished the Savior. God sent a Savior down here after us. He didn't know us anything but hell and eternal judgment. Instead, he withheld that and sent a Savior down here. What do you think about that? Sent a Savior down here. And listen, he's an all-sufficient Savior. He ain't trying to save. He saved everybody that's savable. Salvation's on the table. Salvation deliverance. His Savior fixed up salvation. Complete deliverance. If you want, it's on the bottom shelf. You can reach it. You reach it by faith. I believe that's right. The grace of God brings salvation appeal to all men. God brought it down where just all ignorance, hillbilly sinners could reach it. I say praise his name. Glory to God. Scriptures is on the table. The scriptures tell us what the Lord did for us, how he done it. That's the reason the devil wants to change the Bible. We don't need to change the Bible, we need to change beliefs. The Bible tells us where we come from, how we got here, and what's wrong with it, how to get fixed, where you're going when you die. A lot of people don't like to be told that. We're totally ruined in the fall of Adam. Totally helpless in the fall of Adam. Nothing supernaturally spiritual you can do for yourself. He does it all. Praise God. You wouldn't come to him if he didn't come to you first. He comes to you through the preaching. Comes to you through the testimony of Christians. Comes to you through the Spirit of God. I know when he came to me. Praise God. And I come to him because he came to me. Glory to God. You say, how long did you resist, Brother Mitchell? That long as I could. When my will was totally broken, I said, Lord, here I come. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know what the church said. I just knew I was a terrible, undone sinner. Looked like I was going to go to hell any time. And I just come and cried out for mercy. And God delights in showing mercy. Washed my sins away. Made me a new creature. And I got to reading the scriptures, found out a little bit about what the Lord did for me. I've been happy ever since. The more I read, the more I find out what he's doing, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. You glad he's going to finish what he started? See, redemption's in three phases. He come down here, done the first phase when he come. And died for our soul, paid the price, redeemed our soul. Next time he comes, he's going to redeem the body. Then the next time over yonder again, he's going to redeem creation. The price is paid for all of it. God's going to destroy everything sin's touched. In a new heaven, new earth, be no sin anywhere. He's going to destroy everything sin's touched. That's when heaven and earth must pass away with a great noise. Hell must shall melt with fervent heat because sin touched them. Got to have new heavens and new earth. One fellow said, I don't believe in any new earth. I said, help yourself, be an unbeliever. That's what the Bible said. I believe because the Bible said, we're being wrong with earth, wasn't for sin. Sin's behind all of it. Sin's what's the matter with us now. We got sin in the bloodstream. We got blood poison. That's why you have to die physically. Your body must die. Jesus don't come and change it because it's got messed up blood in it. Sin entered the bloodstream. Life of the flesh is in the blood. They've got an evil man inside and they will die. You've got a helper man. That's our basic hope. Now, Christians are hoping to get saved outside, but they haven't got saved inside. Hope has to do with the helper man. Saved the grace through faith, that's inside. Romans 8:24, we're saved by hope outwardly, not inwardly. We're saved by grace through faith anyway. We're saved by hope outwardly. Hope to see, not hope for them in sin, but just hope for it. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we will patiently wait for it. Right now we're waiting patiently to get saved outside. We'll be living like we're already saved outside. We're not already saved outside, we're supposed to be living like it. You say, you mean supposed to try to produce perfection? Yes. You say, I can't produce it. I can't eat it, but you're supposed to try to. I'm having to come to things you're not trying to. The more perfect you get, the more imperfect you see you are. This supper consists of forgiveness. All things are now ready. Tell them everything's ready. You don't have to finish up after you get here. Everything's on the table. It's ready. Forgiveness is ready. You know what we need? Forgiveness. We think we don't need any forgiveness. Church members think they don't need any forgiveness. You can't hardly see anybody at the morning's banks getting forgiveness. I went over this time, but I've got to say it again. You're never going to see sinners respond in humility and repentance till saints respond in humility and forgiveness. They're never going to do that. It operates that way. See, you don't care if I preach them here, do you? We, as Christians, think that we're rich in these Christian goods and have need of nothing. We've been told by this bunch of no good preachers on TV and radio and the pulpits that there ain't nothing wrong with us. Well, in a sense, if you look spiritually, and the inward man inside has been redeemed, there's nothing wrong with him, but there's a whole lot wrong with us outside. What we need to do, we're still in a sinful world, in a sinful body, and you're going to have to be repenting as long as you're in a sinful world and a sinful body. And if saints ain't going to repent, sinners are not going to repent. If saints aren't going to be bothered, sinners are not going to be bothered. So on this table, forgiveness, there's justification. That's God declaring your rights. Not you doing that, that's God declaring your rights. You can't feel justification, but you can feel regeneration. Regeneration on the table too. So when he justifies you in heaven, he regenerates you in your heart, makes you know he's done something for you in heaven.
Right.
You wouldn't know he'd done anything up there if he didn't do something in here. Now you think about that. The only way you know that you're accepted by God in Christ in heaven and been justified, declared right, is because he regenerated you in your heart and the Spirit witnesses in your heart that you've been accepted in heaven. You wouldn't know it any other way. You can believe all the salvation verses. Listen, the Spirit of God makes known to you what Christ has done for you in your heart. And I can't preach that too hard. If I could holler louder, I would. Because our generation has been led to believe that they're saved by believing some historical facts about some salvation verses. And they're good folks too, but they're deceived people. One fellow said to me one time, I was meeting, preaching along that line, and he said, well, I know I'm not deceived. I said, you wouldn't be deceived if you knew it. And he died a drunkard's life, telling me that he knew he was saved. I'm not his judge, but I got a book here that says different. Baptist drunks, Methodist drunks, Pentecostal drunks, Seventh-day Adventist drunks, all drunks. That the fellow habitually drinks, he lives that kind of lifestyle. If we know God, we don't continue to commit sin. He that sinneth, continue, hath not seen God, neither known him. And I didn't put that in there. Redemption, reconciliation's on this, in this supper. I knew I'd been getting all that when I got saved, my goodness. Don't tell what kind of a bid I'd have put. I didn't know all that. I wouldn't, but you talk about regeneration and forgiveness and repentance and justification and sanctification. I thought you were talking in tongues. I don't know about them words like that. All I knew was worldly words. When I got to reading in here that, listen, that he regenerated me, justified me, redeemed me by his grace, accepted me in the blood of him, and washed me in the blood, I got saved and was his child now, and he would never leave me nor forsake me. Think about all that being on the table. You get all that in a big bundle, and you don't know you got it all, but you can find out as you read it, find out more than you got. Your salvation is kind of like a pack, kind of like a gift in a package. You get the package, and so you start unwrapping that gift, and you start pulling out this gift and that gift. The more you pull out, the more they are there.
Amen.
Now, servants of God are ready to preach. I wish I could preach more and preach louder. Paul said, and Paul in Romans 1:14, he said, I'm there, both the Greek, the barbarian, and wise than us, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation. Not to everyone, but everyone that believe it. Jew first, also a Greek. What are you ready to do? Paul said, I'm ready. I'm a debtor. Have you ever felt the weight of that debt? You owe a debt to the world. I've heard people say, I'll never get God paid back. You don't owe God anything. It's a free gift. You're in debt to the world. I'm debtor, both the Greek and the barbarian, wise and us. So as much as me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. We're supposed to be preaching to others. Everybody saved is a preacher. Everybody's saved, not a pastor. Everybody's saved, not a public preacher up here in the pulpit. Everybody says it's not covered mess, but everybody that's saved is to hurl forth the word of God. That's what a preacher is.
Yeah.
To proclaim what God's done in Christ. If you're saved, you know enough about that to tell somebody else about it. Y'all believe that's right? Acts 8:4, they were scattered abroad, on the persecution, they were scattered abroad, whatever, preaching the word. All of them did. You know, I've watched this through the years, especially since we got, able, and we should take care of the preachers. I'm not preaching against that. But since we got financial able to have a nice building, I remember when that wasn't so. I remember when they didn't have no carpet, didn't have no padded pews, didn't have no brick building, and I remember when, pretty poor, I got into the last part of that depression. This young generation, they don't know nothing about hard times. But the churches, and they should have, they got able financially to take care of their preachers and so on, and that's good. But you know what we feel like? We feel like since we give them enough money to buy groceries, and maybe take care of the light bill, and phone bill, and gas bill, and have an automobile, that relieves us of our responsibility. And now we think that the pastor should bury the dead, marry the young, kiss all the babies, get along with young folks, and preach three good sermons a week. If a church don't bloom out and grow, they say, maybe we need to change preachers. Seems like he's kind of lost his touch. See what that is? We've shirked our responsibility. The pastor is no more responsible going to visit somebody sick than you are. I know maybe you have to work, and that's good. Maybe he's not working on a job. He has more time. But you're responsible to be a witness yourself. I feel a little backlash, but I want to drive this home. Us Christians, and I'm right in the middle of it, we've shirked our responsibility into thinking the pastor's going to take care of all that. All we got to do is try to get out there once a week and maybe twice. And some of us here every time, thank God for that, you've got a lot of good, faithful people. But you'd be surprised at the people. I was thinking about a while ago, you can't even have a big crowd at the dance now, let alone church on Saturday night. Used to be, you could have a dance and the house would be running over. Oh, like they used to have homes, you couldn't get in a party. Or a side road dance. So nowadays, people is glued to sports and different things now. They wouldn't even hardly come on Monday, let alone Saturday. I know people wouldn't go back to church on Sunday night if John the Baptist was to resurrect and preach. They got God worked into their little program from 10 to 12 on Sunday, sometimes 11 to 12, and they're not coming back. And I don't hammer on them. I just try to preach 12 miles there. But I warn them, they're shirking the responsibility. I know some people are not able to go to church. I understand that. Some people are physically sick, and they're just not able to get there. But I also know if you're able to walk up and down the store at Walmart, you're able to go to the meeting house. Do you think so? I told y'all about that fellow. I was preaching pretty hard about people laying out of church, and I saw him the next day at Walmart, and he said he had the sniffles and a little cold. And he said, now the reason I didn't come last night, Brother Mitchell, he said, I just didn't want to spread this around. I said, there's more people out here than there was at church last night. And besides that, I said, we ought to make a place back here you can lay down by yourself. Nobody wouldn't have to get close to you. Don't be trying to kid me. I'm an old man. People do what they want to do. You want to do something, you're going to try to do it. Don't people make plans a year at a time for a vacation? And some of them will miss two weekends on a vacation. And feel good about it. Well, we haven't had a vacation, since Christmas. And had to have a little time off. We're going to think time off when we face God. I'm a gardener, I'm telling you. I fear the judgment seat of Christ. When I bring all of my wood, hay, and stubble up and watch it burn, it's going to be a pretty bad time. And you better believe there's going to be no favors pulled there. The folks got mad at me once because I made the statement in the country church. I said, out here now, you can take a couple of $1,000 and crooked lawyer in the secret order and get out anything at the courthouse. He come around after service and said, somebody wanted me to ask you what you got against the Masonic Lodge. Said, actually, we don't have no plan of salvation to offer. Said, we're trying to make good men better. I said, you got on the wrong foot to start with. Outside of salvation, there is no good men. God said, there's none good. No, not one. If you think joining up with that makes you good, you better change courses. So much for that. God's ready to pardon. Amen. Y'all don't care if I preach that, do you? May God help us. Oh, I can say more about that. Come to say more about that? This crooked court business today in the courthouses is ruled by secret orders and ain't nothing in the world but a money machine heading to hell at a breakneck speed. Playing on a bunch of young people that never has been raised to any kind of salvation. And they're making them worse. Hear what that crooked governor done up yonder in Virginia yesterday with an executive order. He told all them 200,000 convicted felons that now they can vote and run for public office. Turned all them folks loose. That's not the worst of it. Nobody bothered about that. After all, don't God love everybody? That's what they say. So we forgot that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The frown of God is upon them that do evil. You think you're a child of love living in sin, you're a child of wrath living in sin. And the wrath of God abides on you. If you were to die, you'd drop right down in hell under the wrath of a sin avenging God. That's right. It breaks my heart to say that, but that's true. I must tell the truth. You're not a child of love if you're not saved. If that makes us a child of love, that we're in Christ. And God loved us in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're a child of wrath. The wrath of God abides on the unbelievers. If you die right on your heart stops, you drop off in the pit immediately. Under the wrath of God. In a love dispensation. In the gospel age. Yet go to hell. That's the way it is. Unbelief is rebellion against God. You know why folks don't get an old-fashioned altar and repent of their sins and turn to God in faith? It's because they're rebels against God. Just like I was a rebel against God. I'd hear the message and harden my heart and go away. So that's what the preacher has to say about it. I take my chances. See, the sinner don't care if God loves him or not. The sinner is so depraved and wicked. His heart is so black and his ears are dull of hearing. And his mind without understanding, he does not know the facts in the case until God opens his understanding. First thing that happens to you in salvation, God opens your understanding, lets you know who you are by nature, who you must be by the grace of God. Thou to God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. You glad he's ready to pardon? Not put on probation, pardon. Pardon means the charge is dropped. Case is dismissed. If you're in court, charged with a capital crime, and you get convicted, then they throw it out, and the judge says, I'm dismissing this case. You know, it goes off your records, you don't even have anything on your record. That's what happens when you get saved. The charge is dropped. The record's wiped clean. The blood washes it all away. God's ready to pardon. He's great in mercy. The Lord is slow to anger. If the Lord wasn't slow to anger, we'd all done be in hell. Lay a boy through slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Don't you think God's going to let the wicked get by? Fellow said to me a long ago, said, what if the Lord do something? I said, he's doing something. He said, what's he doing? I said, letting him alone. That's what he's done in Noah's day. Men left to themselves will do what you're seeing done now. They will think they're saved. As their sodomites, transgender, same-sex marriage, and say they're okay. They do not know the difference. When God turns the light out, it's yet to be seen how deep man will go in his depravity. He goes so far down, God has, he's required, according to the scriptures, and bound by his word, he's so set against evil, when it goes so bad, he has no alternative but to destroy it. The wicked be turned into hell. Everybody's wicked outside of Christ. Listen, if you miss anything I say, don't miss this. Everybody's wicked outside of Christ. Everybody's wicked outside of Christ. Wicked should be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. Sad to say, but our nations forgot God. You know, I oughtn't even listen to the news. I listen to radio news long, programs on there that tell us what's going on and so on. It bothers me so bad, it stirs me up. The fact about how far down our nation's gone, thinking it's okay. They don't think anything will happen. Just make something else wicked. Make it worse. Make it worse. See how bad you can make it. Make it worse. And talk about their Christian faith. There wasn't no faith if they made it in the middle of the road of walking. There was nothing about saving faith. They wouldn't know the Savior. You're saying, you're judging? No, I'm a preacher. You can't know the Savior in that kind of condition. He come here to save us from our sins. You only get saved from sin, condemnation, sin. You can't get saved. Now you hear it's people saved. Can't anybody get saved? Wants to? Problem is, they don't want to. That's the one to get saved from sin. If you want to get saved, you want to get saved from sin and transgression of God's law. You don't get saved, go to heaven. Another verse of scripture in the Bible says, come up here, get on the bandwagon, we'll take it to heaven when you die. He come down here and make us holy.
Amen.
Give us a holy desire. Save us from our sin and condemnation. That's what he come down here to do. He'll be saved from the love and practice of sin. The desire of sin. He'll be saved from that. One person said, I think I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm not talking about going to heaven right now. I'm talking about sin right now. You want to be done with sin? Have you finished up with sin? Have you finished up loving sin, having pleasure in sin? Make no mistake. If you're not redeemed from all iniquity and purified unto good works, something wrong with your religion.
Amen.
That's Titus 2:14. Redeemed us from all iniquity. Saved from the pleasure and the practice of sin. Sets us apart, sanctifies us in the blood. Calls us out of darkness into light. Makes us new creatures in Christ. I'll tell you what, folks, it's a serious thing. I'm through preaching. The heart's heavy. It's a serious, a lot more serious than any of us think. I've been thinking about it. Lord, meet God in your sins. No human tongue can tell. No human mind can comprehend how awful it's going to be to go out into eternity. Not ready, not with peace with God. It's unbelievable to us how bad it's going to be. To hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, the everlasting fire. I never knew you. Never knew you. That's the worst sentence anybody could ever see or ever hear. Does it bother you? It bothers me. I think the Lord's speaking to somebody here tonight. I think the Lord's speaking to both saints and sinners. We're not burdened for our loved ones. We need to be in the prayer closet praying for our loved ones. That's lost. They ain't never going to get in. I know we can't save them. I know that. We have very little strength. We could plead with God that God somehow might deal with them and use us to say something to them that might affect them in such a way that they'll give it some thought. He might use us in that small way. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.
I have a smile of gladness and it's written all on my face.
Praise God.
Praise God, I'm on my way, I'm on my way. All because I've been redeemed by His wonderful saving grace.
Praise God.
Praise God, I'm on my way, I'm on my way.
Praise God.
Praise God, I'm walking in heavenly sunlight.
Since
I give Lord control, give Lord control.
Marching through.